Hello everyone, welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Joe Wilkinson, who's Director of Transportation at Invista, and Megan Bishop, who's also a manager at Invista. And today we're going to talk about transportation procurement is not a standalone event, the importance of taking a continuous process approach. And, you know, this time of the year in particular, you know, as companies are thinking about 2017 and their budgets and so forth, and with everything going on in the transportation industry, a lot of companies are thinking about, you know, transportation procurement. And one of the mistakes that I often see with some companies is that they tend to view procurement as kind of this standalone event. You know, it's something that we prepare for, you know, we put out the bids, we review the bids, we award the business, and then it's kind of now we move on. And in reality, when you know, to take a more sophisticated view of it, it really is a continuous business process with a lot of continuous feedback loops to drive continuous improvement, and it is part of a broader business process. So you know that's really the focus of today's conversation. And you know, obviously, Joe and Megan have a wealth of experience in this area. You know, working with clients, you know, across a variety of different industries, across a variety of modes. So certainly appreciate them taking the time to be with us today to share their perspective. Megan, you know, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Joe, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, Adrian.
So Megan, let's get started with you. Just to kind of relate it to what I just said right now in terms of this being a continuous business process and kind of to take a broader perspective. I mean, where should companies begin then, what's the starting point? And then what are the main components of, the overall business process?
Sure. So typically a company would start with some type of maybe internal project, or they could also complete some type of an assessment or a solution design. So really what they're looking to do there is to find the dollars and see what areas they can use for improvement. So in terms of discussing a sourcing event, they really want to make sure that a sourcing event is the right answer, and they want to make sure that there's a good return on investment there before they proceed. So after they've established that, then they would typically proceed on to the sourcing event, and then from there, implementation and implementing that into an operation and continually reevaluating, which we'll get into a little bit more later.
So is the assessment, I mean, is it mostly driven by, this is how much we paid last year in freight, and across all modes, and let's see if we can save money, or are there other things that might factor into an assessment?
Yeah, so typically there's other things that factor into an assessment. Sometimes a company can approach and say, we know that we lack in this area, so please focus here. Sometimes they say, we want to save money, we're not sure if a sourcing event is where we need to start, so please come in, help us, really look for where those dollars are or where those improvement opportunities are, and let's go from there. And oftentimes a company might think they have a problem in area A, when after assessment's completed, it's really in area B. Or again, maybe they think that the best bang for their buck is on a certain project when really it might be involved in more of the sourcing event and they haven't identified that. So we kind of help them find out that specific area and then go from there.
Great. Yeah, no, I think what you just said makes a lot of sense, because I think a lot of times, companies may be fixated on just kind of driving down the cost as kind of one of the opportunities to look at. But obviously, there's a lot of, other considerations, that could go into an assessment. So Joe, I mean, talking about kind of the broader component, the components of the overall business process, I mean, what are some of the main components of the business process?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, as Megan said, the assessment is a good place to start. That's your due diligence. That's where you're identifying the opportunities. Also, it's where you're identifying the constraints, right? I mean, a sourcing opportunity may not be achievable. It may not be viable, depending on the technology that's in place, the constraints that are in place from the various stakeholders, both internal and external. So you start there. Then typically, we move into a sourcing project. Assuming there are dollars to be saved there's an ROI. And we can get into, if you'd like, kind of the details of how that sourcing project operates. But, I want to focus really on the fact that you start with an assessment, you move on to a sourcing project, but that sourcing project isn't a single, it's a single event in a larger cycle. So you have the assessment, you do the sourcing, it moves into a monitor and manage phase on the sourcing project, also the operational aspect of it. And then you, based on the output of that monitor and manage phase, you move back into an assessment phase, and the whole thing repeats. I think it's kind of what you were talking about at the outset, that this is not a discrete project which has a start and a stop point, you know, 6 to 8 weeks separated. It's more of a process. I talk to clients quite a bit, and, you know, one of the questions that we ask, when were your agreements last negotiated? Well, we signed a new contract 2 years ago, and no one has looked at it since. And, you know, I'm not going to say there's not value in that process. Looking at it on a regular basis is important. But if you're not monitoring the landscape, if you're not watching what's going on with your network, with the pricing logic that the carriers implement, you know, there's a lot of dollars that are going to get left on that table.
You know, Joe, it's interesting. Yeah, that last point you made about, you know, hey, I haven't looked at it, you know, since 2 years ago when we first signed it. It reminded me of a case that I came across a few years back. This is going back to kind of 2009, where without going into all the details, there was a very large ocean shipper that basically had been paying paper rates for many years because their contracts had expired and nobody had, you know, the person that was in charge had moved on or was let go, and no one had bothered to kind of, you know, follow up on it. And of course, things were going well, and you know, from a business standpoint. But it wasn't until the economy kind of went into the recession back in late 2008, 2009, that everybody started looking for cost reduction opportunities. That you know, this was uncovered. It's like, holy cow, we've been paying, you know, paper rates for, you know, years now, and we haven't, you know, looked at this. So I think that's the most acute example I've come across now. Now, you know, to kind of build upon the assessment there, Joe, I mean, is it, I mean, do you see that's the area that perhaps some companies might either skip altogether or maybe not do as an efficient or as an effective job on?
Absolutely. I mean, the assessment serves as kind of a nice front end to a sourcing. It tells you if there is opportunity. It tells you where the dollars are, not just in, you know, I'm spending X on transportation, Y on technology, but even within that technology, our first step, one of our first steps, is to build what we call a spend diagram that shows how your transportation dollars are flowing through your network. And it's amazing, you know, oftentimes we present that and you'll have a shipper say, wait a minute, I'm spending $30 million in inbound costs to my DC from my truckload and LTL carriers. I had no idea that was that high. If you don't know where your dollars are, you don't know where the opportunity is. And that tells you where you're going to get the best ROI from a sourcing event, or more appropriately, a sourcing cycle. Also through that assessment process, you're getting a feel for how many carriers are involved in each mode, what the data is going to look like, because we all know what a critical element the data is in sourcing. And it lets you kind of get a jump start on that sourcing cycle.
Yeah, great. So to build on, you know, kind of moving on from there, I mean, what are some factors that would trigger, you know, our sourcing event or help define its scope and objective? Is it just, you know, for some companies, it's like, oh, gosh, it's the end of the year, it's the end of the contract period, let's do another engagement. But are there other factors that would, you know, prompt a company to say, you know, we ought to do an assessment here and kick off this life cycle process?
Absolutely. I mean, let's say we're at the end of a sourcing event and we've put in place a new carrier base. We've got new carrier agreements. Now we're moving into that monitor and the managing phase. What we're going to be looking for there, or what a shipper should be looking for there, changes in their network. You know, are they moving their DCs around, changing in their freight characteristics, changing in their customer base? Did we just acquire a new company? Did the carriers change their rating logic? Was there a change in the tariffs? I mean, you're looking both inside for changes within your network, and you're looking outside at the environment. You know, is there a change in the carrier's capacity? That's an ideal metric to look at for an opportunity. You know, you're basically scanning at all times post-implementation for a new opportunity.
Yeah, those are all, you know, great examples. I mean, I think, you know, even just in the past, you know, few weeks, we've seen both FedEx and UPS, you know, announce rate increases, you know, for 2017. You know, even when you look at, you know, what's going on with Hanjin Shipping, you know, and everything there. So that might be from a risk management standpoint, that might trigger, you know, folks to look at what they're doing on the ocean side.
That FedEx and UPS announcement, that's a whole different talking logistics.
That's right. I know many shippers always look forward to those press releases from FedEx and UPS announcing the increases. And I know, and there's probably another, this is probably, this next question is probably another topic, you know, that we can devote a whole episode to, but maybe just as a way to kind of provide some high level thoughts and food for thought for folks. I mean, how do you go about then kicking off, you know, you've done the assessment, how do you go about, you know, kicking off a sourcing engagement? And I mean, what are some of the key, most important steps?
I mean, it's basically a four-step process for us, at least the initial phases. You know, you've got your data collection. If you don't collect your data in the proper way, if you don't look at it in the proper way, and if you don't make that data reflect future state, you're already starting at a deficit, right? You're already handcuffing yourself to a certain point. So that's a critical stage. Engaging with your stakeholders to define the desired outcome, the goals and objectives, also important. I mean, sure, cost savings are always a part of that equation, but they're not always the only part of that equation. You know, so there are other aspects that you could address in a sourcing engagement. You're building your baseline scenarios, which doesn't simply mean taking the costs from the data. That's what you were paying yesterday. They may not reflect your current baseline agreements. So you've got to model that data on new baseline agreements to make sure that you're accurately comparing proposals to baseline, right? And then you've got to identify your constraints. You know, that comes back to the assessment. If the assessment has been done and done correctly, hopefully you're already going into that sourcing with at least a good understanding of what those constraints may be they technology, internal stakeholders, that sort of thing. Other than that, it's basically a matter of assembling the right team and also of, you know, getting the process mapped out and moving forward in the appropriate.
Right. So it sounds like, you know, obviously, you know, like any kind of, you know, project or event, you know, good project management and definition and roles and responsibilities and all that is a critical factor here. You know, going on to my next question, Megan, I'd like to get your input on this as well. So maybe Joe, you'll go first and then Megan, you can talk about it from an operations standpoint. But let's say now you've done with this, you know, strategic sourcing engagement. I mean, how do you take the output from that, right, and then successfully execute it?
Well, I'll take the sourcing part of that, and then I'll hand off to Megan to talk about the execution. From a sourcing standpoint, you've got new agreements. You've got projected savings, or let's say a projected outcome. What we do and what we recommend our clients do is we actually measure those savings each month to make sure that they're in line. If they're not, it tells you something has changed. You know, the agreements are the agreements. Rerating them is, I don't want to make it sound oversimplified. You've got to have the tools to do that, but rating is rating, right? So you're measuring those savings, but you're also monitoring. You know, let's speak in terms of parcel because that's the easiest example. You know what your service level split was. You know what it's expected to be coming out of the sourcing engagement. Is it still that month over month? Is that average package weight coming in the same? Is that average zone coming in the same? If not, that may be one of those trigger points we were talking about earlier, showing you an opportunity to take at least a piece of the business back out and reoptimize. So that's what we're doing. We're measuring it, measuring the output month over month. Another thing that we're doing is when you just mentioned UPS and FedEx, when that GRI announcement comes out, and once you have the right information on that GRI, a full understanding of what it's going to mean, we take and model that based on the data that we already have in hand to see what that impact is going to be, see if that's an opportunity to go out and mitigate some of those increases, or if there's a change in a carrier tariff, or what have you. Now, that's what we do from the sourcing aspect. but I'm sure Megan can add some things from a contract execution.
Sure. So from an operations perspective, really for us, we would pick up at the end of the sourcing event and start the implementation or the execution piece. So that really involves setting up your carriers on EDI or maybe even an email tender if they're a small enough carrier or the volume doesn't warrant an EDI setup. It involves building those contracts in your transportation management system, building test loads so you can go through and test with the carrier, ensure they're receiving the tender, ensure we're receiving those status updates in return. And really that's just to make sure that everything is smoothed out for the actual go live or whenever that operations piece starts. So just as important though would be the communication piece. So one thing that we really need to make sure when we're phasing out of the sourcing event and into the implementation phase is that we're aligned on expectations. So really for us, it's making sure that whatever was conveyed to the carrier during the sourcing event, so maybe it's something such as a weekly commitment or, you know, you're going to be the carrier that moves most of the volume on lane XYZ. We need to know those things. That way we're holding up our end of the bargain and making sure that we're meeting those carrier expectations throughout the operation. So instead of being reactive during the operation when the carrier's mad because they're not receiving that volume, we're trying to be more proactive and making sure that we're getting those things smoothed out up front. But at the same time, it's also making sure that expectations are set with the carriers. So are they aware of how often they need to send status updates? You know, should it be within 24? Should it be within 48 hours? What do they do if they have, you know, some type of expedited load that the driver fell off and they need to notify us? So again, making sure that we're setting those expectations and making sure that all parties are aware of it prior to the go live or the start of it. That way, when you're dealing with a retailer during peak season, you're not scrambling to find a load or things of that nature.
Yeah, no, a lot of great you know, food for thought there. And, you know, I think, you know, Megan, just a quick follow-up in terms of the execution. So obviously one is, you know, the connectivity, right, in terms of connecting to the carriers. And from so there's the IT component on this as well, right? Because to do what Joe talked about in terms of being able to do that kind of analysis for continuous improvement to see whether now that you're in execution – where the things that you have planned for or the assumptions you made up front are kind of still reflective, you know, reflecting reality, you kind of need, you know, that timely and accurate, you know, information coming in, you know, back from the carriers. So I would assume that, you know, part of the execution process is really, you know, electronically connecting or being able to gather information, you know, from the carrier base, you know, from freight audit and payment, from what, you know, all these other different sources, to be able to make that kind of analysis that Joe was talking about, correct?
Right. So, yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't just include setting up the EDI. It could also include setting up some type of extract. So once these loads have been executed, extracting that information to a tool, whether it's to your freight audit provider or to your accounting department, so they have that information and can kind of continue the process from there. There's a lot of avenues to travel down, and it's really best to get those set up and completed before go live.
Great. So Joe, let's talk about, you know, who should be involved in this whole process, right? So when you think about everything we've talked about so far, you know, you've got the assessment, you've got the strategic engagement, you've got the rollout to operations, you've got the continuous improvement and analyzing the data, you know, a lot of different, you know, parts here, and, you know, it's a cycle, right? So you keep kind of, you know, flowing through this back and forth. I mean, who should be involved, you know, in this whole process, and, you know, what are their roles and responsibilities?
Yeah, well, as a consultant, you know, we bring a piece of that to the game for our clients. We bring in the transportation analysts, we bring in the project manager. Typically, we bring in myself to whatever degree is warranted. If you don't have those external resources, you have to find them internally. You know, transportation analyst or analysts, depending on the scope, and a project manager are the bare minimum. But then you've also got to engage with typically someone on the transportation or operations side that have the ground level view, someone that's familiar with the carriers and your relationship with them, familiar with the routing, familiar with the freight. So someone more operational. Then probably what we call an executive sponsor. Now that could be someone at the VP level, it could be the CFO, or it could be someone at the director's level, depending on the organization. but someone typically with signing authority, someone who can make the call, and probably just as importantly, someone who has that kind of credibility or authority with the carriers that they see as being a decision maker. You've got to have that type of credibility during the negotiation process. So you've got those stakeholders. And that is typically going to comprise your project team, someone that's there on all of the weekly sync calls, someone that is involved in reviewing the analytics. But there are other stakeholders you need to involve as well. The CFO should have visibility to this because he's the one that's going to add, he or she is going to be the one that has to sign off on it. You know, you're going to want to bring in your technology people at some point to make sure they can support whatever changes are necessary to implement your recommended solution. You may or may not have to bring in people from marketing, customer service, product management, those sorts of things, when you're talking about making changes to your transit times, because a lot of times that's going to be a cost-benefit decision. Or let me put it differently, that should be a cost-benefit decision. But sometimes those internal stakeholders will be a challenge to overcome. So it's better to involve those people as you move through the process than get to the end of the process with a recommended solution that some internal stakeholder is going to throw up a roadblock on. You know, let's not find that out just prior to executing agreements. Let's find that out well in advance of that so we can get to an endpoint that everyone can sign off on.
Yeah, it's interesting, Joe. I was just at a conference last week, and we had a kind of a think tank discussion, and something came up where I think to your point there, you know, sometimes the conflicts between sales, customer service, and logistics and transportation, right? Because, you know, from the sales standpoint or customer service standpoint, they might be used to overnighting everything, right? Or, you know, every time the customer calls, you know, it's going to be, you know, this kind of expedited shipment or this type of service. And the question becomes, well, do we really need to? Does the customer really want it that fast? So on and so forth. So really involving, I think, sales, customer service as part of that conversation, particularly if you're looking to, you know, shift service levels or provide, you know, add or eliminate certain types of modes or ways of fulfilling. I think that's an important piece. Megan, again, what your thoughts on who should be involved, particularly from, let's say, an execution side?
Mm-hmm. So starting back with the implementation piece of it, from that point of view, we're going to be involving some type of EDI analyst, both from our team as well as the carrier. So getting the two of them linked up so they can begin the process of setting up EDI. Sometimes that also involves involving someone from the transportation management company, the software company, I should say, in case any configuration is needed behind the scenes. So that's really where you're going to start with the EDI piece of things. And then after that, it's more operations focused. So making sure that everyone from our side is involved in terms of operations, depending on the size of it, that might include a couple of different folks, but also establishing who that operational contact at the client is, because that might not necessarily be the same person that's been leading the project along the way. So really you want to involve them so we're on the same page, they're aware of what's expected, we're aware of what's expected, and then kind of establishing KPIs and things of that nature from there. It also involves, though, at the same time, involving an operational contact from the carrier. So again, going back to those things that we discussed earlier, if there's an issue, expectations, once again, you know exactly who to go to because it's likely not the same person that's been involved up until this point.
Right. Great. You know, great points there. You know, particularly the fact that, you know, I think this kind of underscores what we've been talking about. When, you know, we really think about it from a process, you know, standpoint, you know, you really have a diversity of folks and roles and responsibilities that, you know, that play a role that truly to make this a successful, you know, to be able to meet those objectives that you have from a transportation standpoint. You know, we're kind of running short on time here, so I'm just going to go to my last question. And Megan, maybe I'll ask you to get your thoughts on it, and then Joe, you can, you know, supplement. You know, I think it's always the question. We touched upon it a little bit here. You know, I hear from a lot of shippers sometimes that, and it's probably one of those that, you know, just treated as an isolated, you know, event, is that, hey, you know what, we thought we were going to save X millions of dollars you know, or we're going to improve our service. And now it's a year later or 2 years later, as Joe, you brought up before. And gosh, we didn't save nearly as much money as we thought we were going to save, or, you know, our service is worse than it was before. The key question in my mind is, you know, how do you make sure that the goals and benefits that are kind of defined, you know, at that assessment stage and even at the output of the sourcing engagement are actually, you know, realized, throughout the year and throughout the cycle here?
Yeah, good question. So for us, again, from an operations perspective, the first thing that we'll do is set up some type of weekly or monthly reporting. So really that's used to keep the client involved, but also to start some benchmarks. So what are the numbers? Where are they trending? What does it look like? Oftentimes, though, there's so much to it that it can get repetitive, and the client might set it aside each week and say, oh, I'll get back to that or something like that. So we also want to set up periodic business reviews where we're going back to the client and really showing them the data, but talking to them about what that data means. Where are the improvement opportunities? So again, keeping this going as a cycle, not just a stopping point and trying to continually improve. At the same time, we'll also set up some type of KPI. So those KPIs would be set up between us and the client. Those KPIs are often set up between the client and the carrier as well. So from our perspective, what is the client looking to improve, or what are they looking to monitor for the year or the month or depending on the season? And we'll really take that information and we'll turn it around so we can establish KPIs both for ourselves to hold ourselves accountable, but also for the carrier. So then from the carrier perspective, you're oftentimes that turns into establishing some type of carrier scorecarding. And, one of the things that I think is misinterpreted oftentimes is the carrier scorecarding isn't meant to continually beat the carrier over the head if they aren't meeting a certain number or things like that. It's really for us to take more of a collaborative approach and work with them to make sure that, again, going back to those expectations, those are known. But really, more importantly, those are being met, and we're kind of working back and forth for if they miss a load, why did they miss it, and how can we help make sure that doesn't happen again? So at the end of the day, it's about going back and taking all of this information, monitoring it, returning it to the customer, kind of telling them, putting the consulting hat on and telling them where they could do things differently or where things could be done better, and then reevaluating the process and starting back over again if needed.
Great. It seems to me, and Joe, I like your comments on that question as well, and maybe you can expand on this one too. I mean, it seems to me that, obviously defining KPIs is critical here, right? Because that's going to provide at least some guiding posts in terms of understanding whether you're moving in the right direction towards those goals. And it seems to me that, the beginning stage of defining those KPIs really comes out of the assessment, right? In terms of going back to really tying it to this being a process, right? I mean, it's a lot of those KPIs probably come out of the assessment, engagement, right, Joe?
Yeah, the assessment and the early phases of the sourcing. The assessment will define the opportunity, the very early phases. The late phases of the assessment are the early phases of the sourcing. You should be defining those goals and objectives, which of course ties into how those KPIs are built. Those KPIs, you're identifying what they should be at the outset, but don't be afraid to modify those as you go through the process. While you're going through the process, you're going to see additional opportunities, additional threats, so don't be afraid to change those as you go along. But yeah, as far as what Megan said, I would just echo, there's not a lot more that's needed there. Continuous monitor and management, continuous review of those KPIs, and just continuing to move through the cycle.
Yeah, that's a great point that you put up there at the end in terms of not being afraid to modify or adjust those KPIs or redefine them, right? Because again, like everything else, when your operating reality today might be very different than it was, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, when you kicked off this whole process and cycle. So I think that's sometimes there might be this hesitancy to kind of, change the KPIs, right? But I think that's some great, food for thought and advice there. So Megan, Joe, we're kind of out of time here, but like I always say at the end of all our episodes, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics. But I think that we have certainly provided some good food for thought and an overview, and at least got our viewers thinking about the fact that really not to think about transportation procurement as a standalone event, to truly view it as a continuous business process, and got them to think about some of the components of that process. So again, thank you both for making the time to be with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Great. Well, thank you both, and I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions, but if you are watching this episode on demand and you've got a question or a comment for Megan or Joe, you can do so on talkinglogistics.com. So if you go there, you can find this episode and post a question or a comment there. And I'm sure Megan and Joe will be more than happy to answer via that medium. Absolutely. So again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.